Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm delighted to have with us Janet Tavakoli, a woman I've admired for a long time for her work at the Gatestone Institute, a very important and thoughtful personal memoir drawn from her experiences in Iran as it shifted from the time and societal norms of the Shah to those of the Ayatollah Khomeini, entitled Unveiled Threat, A Personal Experience of Fundamentalist Islam and the Roots of Terrorism. She has been continuing her efforts to try to help the rest of us understand what we're up against in this practice I think Andy McCarthy has best described as Sharia supremacism. Janet Tavakoli, it's so good to have you back. Welcome. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us.
Hello, Frank.
Let's talk first and foremost about this idea of submission, as it seems to be expressed. Indeed, it's becoming now something of a fashion statement, apparently, to admire the hijab and this other outfitting of women. What's it really about, based on your experience, Janet?
Well, the hijab in the United States, to me, is about propaganda. It seems to me that we have people who are coming to the United States and coming here willingly and could use some sensitivity training. I lived in Iran during the Islamic Revolution when women were violently forced to adopt the hijab. At that time, women wore Western garb everywhere, and they liked it. They protested in the streets. Women were beaten. They were stabbed. The leaders were arrested, raped, tortured. Women who showed up in the bazaar who were not wearing hijab initially had acid thrown in their faces to get them to comply. Today in Iran, you still have the hijab police rumbling women on the street. They have female police officers who help enforce that. Those are the good girls. And the other women are forced, again, to not voluntary. We've also seen this happen in Afghanistan when women had to go back to full burqa. We've seen this in Syria where the niqab was pushed on women. So this idea that it is modest and voluntary is a strange one because, yes, one can say that it is an Islamic symbol, you know, a religious symbol, but it is better known, far better known, for being a symbol of massive, brutal violence against women. And my question to people who are coming to this country is, given that you know that, why are you making this choice? It is your choice to make in this country, but it is a provocative symbol, and many people like me look at it and see it as a very disturbing symbol.
When you talk about sensitivity training, it's always interesting because the contention of those who embrace this Sharia supremacist program, and in particular, you know, are seeking to impose Sharia not just on women in the Muslim faith, but also on everybody else, is that we in the West need to undergo sensitivity training. We need to be accommodating this kind of diversity and to be sensitive to it, and so on. It always strikes me as absurd. We're being told in the name of tolerance to accept the most intolerant program on the planet.
Well, that is part of the program of forcing this sort of thing on a culture. I mean, I saw this happen in Iran, where people were lied to. Women were lied to. They were told, if you support Khomeini, that you will be allowed to dress as you always have. That was just a lie to pacify people. And in the United States, yes, exactly. In the United States, it's more aggressive and even meaner by trying to say that, you know, the aggressors are claiming to be the victim. In other words, if you see this symbol as somehow offensive, then you are wrong. In other words, your perception is wrong. And that would be, to me, you know, people would not walk around on the street sewing a yellow Jewish star to their clothing. It would be offensive. It's a horrible symbol. Or a swastika. You know, if people in India, swastika is a symbol of light. But Indians don't come here and display a swastika because they know that by far it is a symbol. It is much better known as a symbol of oppression, just as the hijab is much better known, and the burqa in particular is much better known as a symbol of oppression. And to claim that that is not true is to be grotesquely insensitive. To try to say, no, you shouldn't look at it like that. You should look at it our way as a symbol of light, a religious symbol. I mean, it's bizarre to say that. And it's actually aggressively dishonest to say that.
And I ask you in that context, Jana Tavakoli, to talk about a particularly heinous practice associated with many, but not all, Muslim adherents to Sharia, namely female genital mutilation. Talk about this as a sort of whole nother order of misogyny beyond what this this burqa and niqab and the like is about.
Yes, it has been dishonestly compared with circumcision. And it is a much different practice. It is basically to remove pleasure from women in its most extreme, and in some cases, I don't want to go into the details because it's quite horrific, and I don't want to gross out your listeners, but it is meant to control female sexuality and to control women's desires. And it's appalling to me that this has made its way into the United States, because even in many Middle Eastern countries, this kind of thing is looked on by people. They're aghast that it happens in other countries. So to see this being promoted in the United States and being lied about the way it has been is terrible. And let's be clear, it is criminal, and we do have laws against it, and we are going after these people, and we are prosecuting them. But it just shows you again that helpless children, helpless females who cannot speak for themselves can easily be abused and exploited. And we see that again and again where, aggressors claim to be victims, and they claim that they want to impose Sharia law and some of the ugliest features of Sharia law as they interpret it.
When we talk about this being prohibited, interestingly enough, as we speak, there is a very assiduous effort being made in the state of Maine, which you may not be aware of. I think most of us are not. The state legislature there is being encouraged by, of all people, the American Civil Liberties Union, not to criminalize at the state level the practice of female genital mutilation. The state is regarded by the federal government as one of the top eight in the country for being at risk of this kind of practice because of the large number of immigrants that have come in there from places like Somalia, where it is the practice to mutilate little girls. I wonder, just Janet, from your experience and your insights into all of this, what you would say to legislators in the state of Maine about this need to engage in this prohibition.
What I would say to the legislators in Maine and also to all people in the United States is to learn about ideological subversion, because the people who are trying to foist this upon the United States have been avid students of KGB-type ideological subversion. And here's the irony. The aggressors are accusing people like President Trump of being in the bag with Russia when it is they themselves who have studied these techniques. There's something actually available, publicly available, on archive.org. It's no longer available on Amazon. It's a book written by a KGB spy who defected to the United States, and he talked about the techniques that the Soviets were using to overthrow governments and the techniques of ideological subversion. And the goal is to damage the perception of reality so that and confuse people so that they can come to no sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country.
And they seem to be getting away with it. We're going to hopefully dissuade them of going down that road. Janet Tavakoli, thank you so much for your insights. I hope we can get you back soon for a much longer conversation. It's been too long. Next up, Matt Brodsky joins us. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.